Welcome to Grace Community Church, our Lathrop campus. My name is Pastor Ben Kelly, and I'm the lead pastor over at Grace Community Church, our Tracy campus. So it's such a privilege to be with you guys today, and you guys are kind of far away. So, I mean, if you guys wanted to move up right now and sit close to me, I don't even know if I spit. Who cares? I brushed my teeth this morning. I only had 2 cups of coffee today, not 8, so it's going to be an exciting morning even then. But it's good to have you guys here. Good to see all of you. Hope you guys are doing well. I'm excited to share with you guys this morning. January 6th, in case you don't know, we had our first service as our Tracy campus over there. And it's kind of near Tracy Boulevard and Schulte Boulevard, or Tracy Boulevard and Valpico, if you're familiar with Tracy. It's at Wanda Hirsch Elementary School. And it's been a great, great time. This morning would be our 6th service, and Pastor Bill is over there today. And that's why I'm here, because he wanted to be there, and I wanted to be here because we've missed seeing you guys. But it's been great. We have a wonderful group of folks who are over there, and they are working their tails off, and they are anticipating and sensing God working in their life. And so we are very, very grateful as far as how God has started things. We've had new families come. We've had a gentleman and his 2 kids who have been there every single week, which has been encouraging. We've had people come back and visit us. So it's been great. And Glenna and Rich, it's been fantastic being with them. Everyone being there is just wonderful. But I've also heard from Pastor Bill and from others and from Pastor Paul as to how God is working here. And it's obvious to me, just from what I've seen this morning, that God is at work here. It's not just about what God's doing over there in Tracy. It's about what God is doing here. And I'm grateful that I get to be a part of this. It's such a, I mean, Violet and I were joking around earlier about it, but coming back, it's just great to be here. It's comforting to be with you guys. It's just a wonderful time, hard to express in words, and if I try to do it justice, then I just ramble and ramble like I'm doing now. But I'm glad to be here, and I'm so excited about what God has in store for us. And it just brings to mind the phrase that Pastor Bill said year after year, that none of us are here this morning. None of us are in Tracy this morning by accident or by mistake, but we're here by design. And we truly, truly are here by design. And I'm grateful for that. And I pray that you guys are grateful as well. This last month of January, I spent time reading through the book of Acts. I thought that would be appropriate in my own quiet time with the Lord to read through Acts as we started a new campus in Tracy. And as I was reading a verse, a couple verses jumped out at me, and I wasn't quite sure why. It's the verses that are going to be on the screen here. It's from Acts chapter 28, from the mouth of Paul, or from the pen of Paul, however you want to put it. Paul says, "There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage." And for some reason, this verse jumped out at me that day. I didn't quite understand why. And when I spend time with the Lord, when I spend time with the Lord, sometimes verses will jump out. They'll stick out. And so I'll underline them. And sometimes at that very moment, I know what God's trying to communicate to me. He may be trying to say, "Ben, don't do this," or "Ben, start doing this," or, you know, major red flags jump up for me. But other times I have to kind of chew on the word and think about it. And this was one of those times where I was like, "Huh, I wonder why this verse is sticking out." And it wasn't until the last few weeks that I really started to understand why God kind of impressed this verse upon my heart and upon my mind. And quite honestly, you guys have brought application for me in regards to this verse. You guys have. So you guys have become the teacher and I have become the student for just a brief moment. And I was very encouraged as I read it. You see, the last month we've had people come to our Tracy campus and visit us. Some people I knew about, I knew they were coming over, so I was excited, I was anticipating them showing up and sharing. Some of them even shared. Some people just showed up and walked through the door, and I was like, "Wow, it's great to see you." And they just kind of walked in. And at first I was like, "Man, I miss being around those people in Lathrop. I'm not an emotional guy, in case you don't know me. But, you know, sometimes I'll think about shedding a tear. That's about as close as it gets for me, okay?" About the 3rd week, I was sitting in the parking lot at the school where we're meeting, and no one was there, and I was waiting for the person to come unlock it, and I'm like, I had my phone like this, and I'm like, "I really miss," and I'm like, "I'm going to text Pastor Bill right now. You tell everybody I said hi." And I was like, "God, what's happening to me right now?" I didn't cry, don't get me wrong, okay? But I started wondering, am I getting homesick? What's going on about this? And as I began to think more about it, I realized it was quite the opposite of homesickness. You see, homesickness creates sort of an apathy. It can cause us to become depressed after a while. Really, it's an impairment when you think about homesickness. It's debilitating at times. And when you guys showed up at Tracy, whether I knew you were coming or not, I did not feel like I was being debilitated at all. But I felt I was filled with courage, as Paul wrote here. And throughout this last month, because of your prayers, because of your support, and I saw the slides running through the welcome time, and it says, remember to pray for Tracy. And you know what? We sense those prayers each week. And so through your prayers, your support, and really through your applause, we've been filled with courage. Courage to share our faith with the community of Tracy in hopes that they would understand that Jesus came to this earth to die for their sins so that they may experience life and life to the full. And so when I say that you guys brought application in regards to this verse to my life, I truly mean it. I'm not trying to blow smoke here and make you guys feel like, oh, it's so great, I'm going to give a hug. You know, you don't need to hug me, okay? I'm not going to start crying over it. But I want you to know that truly you have brought application. And I'm grateful for that. And I want to say, not just on my behalf, but on behalf of the people that are over there in Tracy, thank you. We appreciate it. And we are praying for you guys here. And I'm excited of the work that God is doing in this place, not just over in Tracy. So if you would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? And I'm going to pray in a few moments. But right now, I want you guys, just for a couple seconds, ask God to speak to your hearts. Because we're going to have a good time this morning looking at basically these two verses. But I don't want this just to be a feel-good time for us, a kumbaya time. I want this to be a morning to where God grabs hold of our hearts and changes our life for the sake of eternity, which would in turn change the lives for other people for eternity's sake. So would you just, where you are, I don't know the morning you had, the week you had, or the day you have planned after this, would you just ask God to speak to your heart, to change your life today? Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for each person in this room. I thank you for the folks over there in Tracy right now. God, I thank you for the people who have gone before us, the people we read about in the Bible, the people who have persevered from the time of Christ until now just to even allow us to have the Bible in front of us. God, people have given a lot in order for us to be in this place right now. And so, God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would change our lives in a mighty way, that today when we walk out of here, God, we would be refreshed, but we would also be challenged and motivated to make a difference in this world for your sake. Thank you for the people you've brought into my life who have encouraged me. Thank you for Pastor Bill and his leadership and his vision that you've given him. And God, the fact that we have every single opportunity to worship you and to make an impact for you. We commit this day to you, God, and I ask that you would use me to share with every one of us here about the work you want to do in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Relax, okay? Don't be so serious now, okay? The seriousness is over somewhat. Let me expand on the phrase, on seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. All right? Sounds like a nice phrase, doesn't it? It's like, oh, that's a nice phrase. And some of you guys may get that warm feeling in your tummy. Some of you guys may think, oh, yeah, that's great, and it may give you courage. And other of you are like, that does nothing for me, Ben. Okay? Give me something better than that. Okay? You may be thinking, I'm just here because I have to be. I want you to get done so I can go on and finish my day. Okay? I'm here because I'm supposed to be, and that's it. If that's you, I appreciate your honesty, but I pray that that would change by the end of our time together. I believe there's much to the statement that Paul thanked God and took courage. I don't believe the Apostle Paul ever went through the motions. You see, Paul was nearing the end of his life when he wrote this. And he was in Rome. And many times when we think of being in Rome, man, it must be nice. I'm on vacation, relaxing. It was not that way for Paul. You see, Paul had experienced great persecution, great pain, and great suffering because of the sake of Jesus Christ. And whether or not he had people come to meet him in Rome and to encourage him, he was there as a prisoner. And so this is not just some casual phrase that Paul brings up. It had great meaning for him. And I believe it can have great meaning for our life too. So there are a couple things that I want to do today. I want to talk about 2 points in regards to this statement. Number one, I believe in order for Paul to say that, he had to put his faith in Christ. Secondly, in order to say that, to write that, he had to put feet to his faith. And I believe those to be imperative for us as well in our relationship with Christ. Let me deal first with why Paul had to put his faith in Christ. It seems like a logical thing to do, doesn't it? We're here in church today, of course, but I'm going to put my faith in Christ. That's why I'm here this morning. But I don't think it to be a logical thing. I don't think it's such an easy thing as we talk about it being. I may stand up here and act like it's simple to do those things. It's so not simple, to take a phrase from my wife. It's so not. It's a difficult thing. Yesterday we had the opportunity to go to Pebble Beach, which was pretty amazing. It was immaculate there, I guess. And these pros were there, and they were doing all their golf stuff. And we walked right up, and the first guy, he's on 18, hitting it into the green. And my kids and I and Aim are there. And the first guy hits it. It goes right on the green, like 15 feet away. I'm like, wow, what a great shot. And everyone's like doing their clap thing, the golf clap. And I'm like, Sam, got to be quiet, Sam. And then all of a sudden, the next guy comes up, and he's about the same distance away. He hits his shot. Different trajectory this time, but it lands about like 8 feet from the pin. And I'm like, what is going on here? And everyone's clapping like it's no big deal. And the guys make it look so easy, and they're so smooth. And I think in my head, what would it be like for me if I'm out there? It'd be like, just like that, so not smooth, doing whatever I can just to try to make contact with the ball and hoping I don't hit the person that's like standing right over there. That's all I kept thinking about. Man, I would be terrified if I was golfing on a course with people around me that close. Those guys make it look so easy. And sometimes we talk about putting our faith in Christ like it's a simple thing to do. Yes, it's simple in the fact that it's by God's grace that we are saved, but it's a difficult thing to place our faith in Christ. At least for me it is at times. If it's not for you, then you should be up here and I should be down there, quite honestly. When we put our faith in Christ, we're not just allowing Jesus to be our Savior only, but we're allowing Him to be our Lord. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. You guys have heard that phrase probably a lot, haven't you? But He's our Lord. I think this is one of the issues that plagues our nation, our homes, our churches, our lives more than any other. We have a lot of folks who want Jesus to be a part of their life as their Savior, or as fire insurance perhaps, but they're not allowing Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And quite honestly, they have no intention of making Jesus the Lord of their life. And when I say the Lord of our life, I mean the final and complete authority of everything that we do. That's what I speak about when I say making Jesus Christ our Lord. Quite honestly, the true authority of most people's lives nowadays is themselves. You are your Lord. You are your final decision. And you are your standard of right and wrong. It's getting a little heavy, huh? Ben, what happened to the nice feelings? And when that happens, as an individual or a group or a party or a town or a nation, it can be dangerous. Why is that? Because we are people. In being people, our attitudes change, don't they? Maybe yours don't. My attitude changes from day to day at times. My emotions change. Sometimes people's standards of right and wrong change. So therefore, if we are our own Lord, then there is nothing that's firm and secure, is there? But there is a God who is firm and secure, who is unchanging, and His standard is always steady. and right there. And that's why when we say making Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we are saying you are the true authority in our life. And that's what I believe that Paul did. He put his faith in Christ, understanding that he is the true authority of his life. And that's why he was able to say, I thank God and I take courage, because he's the one, he is the standard of right and wrong. He's the true authority in my life. Let me go back to Paul. The Apostle Paul's testimony or conversion was a pretty amazing conversion. You guys may have read it before. Paul was traveling down a Damascus road looking to give some Christians a hard time. And when he was traveling down that road with some companions, a great light shone around them. And Paul fell to the ground, pretty frightened, I'm sure. And when Paul fell to the ground, all of a sudden he wasn't able to see. Suddenly he couldn't see. I don't know if that's scary to you, but it is to me. Actually, this morning, I was washing my face off. Whoa, that was loud. That was scary to me. I was washing my face off with a washcloth. I don't know if you guys have ever done this. And I went like this. And all of a sudden, I pushed an eyelash or something in my eyeball. And it was like, oh my gosh, my eye! And I couldn't even see. And suddenly, all these thoughts go into my mind. Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to speak at the Lathrop campus today. How am I going to speak if I'm like this the whole time? What am I going to do? Am I going to wear sunglasses? What's happening? Do I wear an eye patch? I don't know. Suddenly, Paul fell to the ground, and for 3 days, he was unable. I've got an eyelash in my eye now, it feels like. And for 3 days, he was unable to see, and he had to be led around. I think that was for a reason that took place. You see, Paul thought he was the Lord of his life. He thought he was the true authority, didn't he? That's what he thought. But God had other plans in mind. And so a man named Ananias came along and said to Paul, hey, you can see now because of Jesus Christ. That's like the Cliff Note version, okay? And God told Paul, as we read later on in Acts 22, the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. You see, God revealed to Paul that he is the Lord, the true authority of his life. But he didn't stop there. He said, Paul, I'm saving you, but I'm also saving you to go and do something. I have great things in store for you. And Paul did those things. In order to thank God, in order for us to thank God, I believe that we have to understand that he designed us to do something. He is our Lord. He's not a genie. He's not a crutch. He's the Lord of our life, and he has things planned for us. But it starts with placing our faith in him. It starts with placing our faith in Christ. It has been a great first six weeks for Tracy. It's been a really great time. It has. It's been wonderful. It's been a great first 12 years for here, hasn't it? It's been 12 years, is that right? Roughly, of Lathrop taking place as a church. But it hasn't taken place because it's just one person's great idea. It's taken place because people have placed their faith as individuals in Jesus Christ. And as individuals begin to do that, the church begins to flourish. The church begins to grow because God is the one who's magnified, because Jesus is Lord. Have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior? Or is he only your advisor? See, only your comfort when you need him. When his plans conflict with yours, is he still God, or you begin to take the controls back? Some days I think we treat God as a radio station. I listen to music a lot. You got the Pandora thing, it's pretty fun. And I have different people that I listen to, stuff that you probably like and stuff you probably don't like. But I'll be listening and all of a sudden I hear a great song and I'll be like, oh, this is a great one. And I'll sing along because I'll know all the words to the song and I'll be completely in tune with it. Then suddenly it'll switch to another song and I don't really love that song as much. I don't like it all that great. I don't dislike it, but I just don't really like it. And so I begin to think about other things and my mind wanders. And at times I think that's what we do with the Lord. There are times in our life when maybe tragedy strikes, where we really want an answer because we got to make a decision tomorrow, and at that point we're trying to tune into that radio station. What was the station? What channel was God on again? And it's like we're trying to wait for that one song to come back on. But it never comes on, huh? And we get angry. Doggone DJ doesn't ever play that song. And sometimes we treat God that way. Why hasn't he responded to me? It's because we only tune in when we want to tune in. He's only the Lord of our lives when we want him to be the Lord of our lives. That's convicting, huh? Doggone it. It's convicting to me too, okay? Not just you guys, okay? It convicts me. Station always has to be on. All right, going on, all right? Number two, Paul put feet to his faith. Am I doing okay on time, Paul? It's been a while since I've been here. Great. People were hoping you were going to say, no, you got to hurry up, all right? We have said it numerous times, faith is action, isn't it? Faith is not just thinking something's going to happen, but believing that God has designed you for those very moments, for that very moment. In order for Paul to thank God for something, he had to do something. I told you that God designed Paul to be a messenger to the Gentiles, and Paul carried that out in a great way. You know, Paul had his three great missionary journeys that he went on. He talked with different people. Wherever he was, Paul spoke to others. He carried out what God had designed him to do. What about you? Does your faith have action, or is it just a fleeting thought? Our faith in God is seen right now. When I think of our group over in Tracy, our Tracy campus, our faith was not seen last March. Remember, last March we let everybody know what we're going to do, and people, some were like, this is going to be great, and other people were like, this is not going to be great. But it wasn't seen in March. It wasn't even, you can kind of make the argument that perhaps it was seen a little bit. It wasn't completely seen in December, but our faith is seen right now. Our faith is being seen right now because we are putting feet to our faith. We're putting feet to our faith. I'll never forget the time when just last month we were putting feet to our faith and we were going to different people's houses and giving them flyers about our church that was starting. True putting feet to our faith. Are you putting feet to your faith? All right? Just because we start doing something, it doesn't mean it's complete as well. We have a lot of work to do here and over in Tracy. Whether we die tomorrow or whether we die 50 years from now, our life is far from over, and God has things in store for us to do. All right, I'm almost done here, okay? Maybe I'm almost done. We'll see what happens. Couple things, all right? The how-tos. This is the part that we all look out for, the how-tos. How do we put our faith in God? All right, that may sound like a simple question, doesn't it? How do we put our faith in God? Number one, believing in a son, Jesus Christ. All right, plain and simple, believing in a son, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. First, it starts with understanding that we are sinners in need of a Savior. This may seem like it's coming out of left field because I haven't yet talked about sin too much. But really, sin is thinking we are the Lord of our life and God is not. I guess I'll leave it at that. That's a good way to put it. I think of the Apostle Peter. You may have heard the story, but if you haven't, basically what takes place is Peter's fishing all night long with the companion, and they don't catch any fish, and then the next morning they're fixing their nets, and some guy named Jesus comes walking around, and he says, hey, I need your boat. Can you put out in the water? He puts out in the water, and Jesus gives a little sermonette thing, and then he tells Peter, take your net and put it in this water right here, and you're going to catch a lot of fish. And Peter does, and he catches a gigantic amount of fish. So many fish that his net can't even hold it, and his net starts to break, and so he calls some friends over and says, help me with all these fish, and they do. And then after this great catch, you know what happens? Peter, at that moment, realizes perfection is standing in front of him, Jesus Christ. And he says, you need to leave right now, Jesus, because I'm a sinner. That's what Peter realizes. And that day when Paul had that light shine around him, and then for 3 days he was walking around blind, I'm sure Paul had that moment when he was like, I interacted with perfection, and I realized that I am in sin. You know what? Perhaps God is interacting with you right now. And you need to understand something, that he is perfection, and we are not. And what that should reveal in your life is the sin that is there, and every one of us have it. Even after we give our life to Christ, it doesn't make us perfect. Our standing before God is perfect because of Jesus Christ, but the sin opportunity is still there. So it starts with placing your faith in Christ, understanding you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And then you get to experience the freedom in Christ, which is understanding all that Jesus went through to give you this grace. How the Old Testament relates to the New Testament, what Jesus fulfilled, what Jesus is going to complete when he comes back again. You get to understand all those great things. But it starts first with placing your faith in Christ and understanding that God has designed you for something great. This is why I love Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's only because of Jesus. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. What I love about this is it speaks about it's only by grace you're saved, but then it goes on to say Jesus didn't just save you to have a merit badge that he could put on. He didn't say, I saved a bunch of people today. He saved you by his grace, by God's great love, so that you can go and live for him and experience freedom in Christ, which he prepared well in advance of your birth. Which is pretty amazing, I think. So it starts with believing in a son, Jesus Christ. And quite simply, it just means, God, I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus to be that Savior for my life. I make him my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Amen. Okay? Well, Ben, what if I miss a word, okay, when I'm talking to God? I think God understands your heart. Okay? Second, we also have to believe in God's desires. This is how we put our faith in God. Believe in what God desires. I did a study this last month over here in Tracy, and we talked about freedom in Christ. And as I was studying, I realized that at the center of God's heart is a great care and a great compassion for people. Obviously, I should know that. I'm a pastor, right? Okay? You probably know that too. But imprinted again on my mind is that fact that God has a deep concern and passion for people. 2 Peter 3:9. I know it's not on there, Marvin. It says, God's not slow in keeping his promise, but he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's his desire. That's his heart. So therefore, it should become ours as well because we've been adopted as his son or his daughter. How do you understand what God desires? By being with him. By being with him. How do we put feet to our faith in God? This is the second part of it. And this is really coming down to the nitty-gritty is do something. Do something. Going back to the radio conversation, I was driving here this week to my office, and the DJ was saying, I wish I was able to catch a ball or throw a ball or draw something amazing or sing something amazing. And I thought to my head, I guess I kind of would too. And then I felt like grabbing the radio and talking back to the man and saying, well, do something about it. We always talk about things that we want to do, don't we? Now, I'm not saying, I want to go to Paris. Okay, I mean, we talk about doing great things for the Lord, or I want to be a better husband or a better dad or a better son, or I want to work harder. Instead of just talking about those things, let's do them. Let's do those things. We have many people who wish, but too few who actually do something about it. Too few. Putting feet to your faith means do something with your faith. James 2, verses 18. James says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. That's such a great one. I'm sure he was kind of like this too. And I'll show you my faith by what I do. I'm sure he's sort of like that when he was writing it. Or just, by what I do. That's how he probably wrote it. Dot. In order to thank God and have courage, we have to be doing something for God. And understand, it's not because of what you do that gives you eternal life. It's only because of Christ. But like I said, Jesus has created us to be new. We're his new workmanship, his new masterpiece. Pastor Bill shared with me that last week you guys had a ministry fair, is that right? And you guys are able to volunteer with different things and different ministries here in the church. And he was super excited when he was telling me about it. And that's great. So great. Continue doing those things. But there's also another ministry fair that's going on right now. And it has multiple sites. I'd like to tell you about those sites. Those sites are our homes, our workplaces, our schools, the grocery stores, this town, your town. There's a ministry fair going on all around. And we have the opportunity to minister to those people. People like our spouses, our family members, our friends, co-workers, teammates, classmates, strangers. In order to put feet to our faith, we have to do something. And I know I'm saying a lot this morning. My goal is not to make you guys feel burdened or beat down. But really my hope is that you guys would feel empowered to share your faith, to share what God's doing in your life with other people, to share the great gift that you have within you. There are so many things that God wants to accomplish through your life. I don't know what they are, and I could list off millions and gazillions of things that I think you should be or could be doing. But it's not my job to do that for you. It's the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your life, that prompts you to do things. The Holy Spirit is called the Counselor, one who helps us what to do and what to see and who to see and who to impact. I know what it means for Ben Kelly. I know what it means caring for my wife and meeting her needs as she needs them to be met. For my kids, being there, noticing them, not on the couch while watching a movie, but playing catch sometimes and listening to my daughter tell me about the story she wrote. It means sharing my faith. It means giving sacrificially. It means saying no to the sin that wants to creep up in my life. Yep, I deal with sin a lot. A whole lot. I wish I never had to deal with it, but I do too, just like you. I don't know what it means for you. In order to say that phrase, Paul thanked God and then he took courage. I believe we have to first put our faith in Christ, but then put feet to our faith. Listen, we may not be able to change the world as individuals, but we can change the world for one person. Does that make sense? And if we have enough individual people who are changing the world for another person, then eventually our homes, our towns, our churches, our states, our countries, our world will change. Let me pray. God, thanks for today. Thank you for these folks that are here in this place. And God, I pray that they would be encouraged. And I know we covered a lot of things. But God, my hope is that they would walk away from here, understanding that you have created them something, created them to do something for your sake. And not that it's even about doing, but God, it's about experiencing your grace. And that leads us to do something for your name's sake. God, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for loving us. God, thank you for loving us first, even when we were unable to do anything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.